top trends researcher, publisher, of course, of the Trends Journal, who joins us today. Welcome back, Gerald Celente.
Thanks for having me on. You know, there's a number of things going on, of course. Everyone's interested in where the markets are going and the geopolitical front. The major issues to look at right now are three of them: interest rates, oil, and war. Those are the ones I would focus on. And particularly as an American, we don't get the international news. I know a lot about Stormy Daniels, but not a peep about Yemen.
So glad you brought this up, because I rarely read anything now online that was produced in the United States. I mean, I go to like Sputnik News and you name it. For instance, I just came across an article today noting that we had a fleet of ships entering the Black Sea because there's concern the Ukraine and Russia might actually cross sabers over that piece of terra firma there in the Crimea. Do you see anything of particular concern between those two states?
That's a good point that I overlooked. You're 100% right. And particularly with the anti-Russian sentiment in the United States. And by the way, they're even blaming now the uprisings in Brussels and in
Paris.
Brussels as well. There's Brussels and France, both uprisings now against the establishment.
The Yellow Vest.
Yellow Vest, right. But they're happening in Belgium as well as France. They're blaming it on the Russians.
This is absurd. They remind me of 50s and 60s Americana. They're just so busy trying to survive. God-fearing people. It reminds me of visiting my grandparents and my aunt and uncles when I was a kid. They're just everyday folks.
Well, you're 100% right. I mean, how about that Iraq war based on lies of weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda? But going back to the point you're making, yes, keep your eye on Ukraine, because the government is in very deep trouble. They're in an economic depression, and when all else fails, they take you to war. And so with the United States becoming more and more involved in Ukraine, as well as Germany and England, that could be another powder keg ready to explode.
But another thing that's had a lot of people worried, and I don't know if this is just woo-woo or if there's any meat, any substance here: automation, robotics, AI displacing workers in the middle class and the working classes. You know, we hear rhetoric surrounding it. There's a big narrative. But is there any truth here? For instance, we see Amazon opens up one of the first fully automated stores, maybe two or three people in the shop. The rest is mostly automated. Walmart bringing in floor sweeping and now scrubbing and mopping robots that are there as you shop. Innocuous, don't bother anyone. Greeters now at many Walmarts and Home Depot around the world are being replaced with faceless screens. For instance, we heard the same thing, you know, with the automobile was going to displace the whole world, and, you know, the electric light bulb did away with gas lighting. I mean, is this just the next logical technological innovation that we're going to have to deal with, or is there a threat here?
It's one of our top trends for 2019. You know, the King James Bible, it says, "The meek shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Well, we have, blessed are the geeks, they have inherited the earth.
You just made a lot of friends.
That's what we're seeing. The geeks are taking over the world. I mean, look at the people have become robots. Watch them. Watch them walk up and down the street holding on to their handhelds. And look at, go to any restaurant. Look at people not interacting with each other, couples, both on their handhelds, and with little children, infants, glued to their screens. The whole world is becoming more robotic, and so is the human race. Another one of our top trends is Generation Z equals Generation Zero. These are people born between around roughly 1996 to 2010. That's all they know. And you look at the data, they'd rather connect on social media than connect on a human scale. So yes, we're going to see more and more robots taking over, and it ties into one of our other trends, and that's human waves. The migration and refugee trends that we're seeing now destabilizing countries around the world is just beginning. You have to put a number on it, as we believe. And here's the number. Go back 100 years ago. You know how many people were on the planet? Around 1.6 billion. In 100 years, we've added 6 billion more people. So you have people escaping their countries that are violent, corrupt, and no income. And they're going to do anything they can. You could add on to the ones that are leaving their nations because of civil wars going on and other wars created by the United States and others that are destroying their country. So you're going to see a human wave of people moving out of their countries, and then you have the other element that you point on top of it, robotics taking more and more jobs. You're going to see a lot of social unrest developing. Again, what's going on with the yellow vests in France, maybe we could start calling that off with their heads 2.0.
The irony, that was the place of the guillotine, you know, the widowmaker. That's not to say there aren't some valid points that are being made. We've got to find a more constructive answer than violence here.
More constructive answer to and thinking for yourself is that we believe in self-sustaining economies. And what's really destroyed the United States is our loss of manufacturing. Only 12% of our GDP is from manufacturing. And they sold us out by selling our jobs out to overseas with NAFTA and the World Trade Organization deal bringing in China. You go back to 1994 before Bill Clinton gave us NAFTA, and our trade surplus we had with Japan, with Mexico, for example, not a $71 billion trade deficit. You go back to when Bill Clinton brought China into the World Trade Organization. China was basically, you know, a third world nation. 5% of their population back then when they joined the World Trade Organization in 2001 was middle class. Today, over 35% of it is. So what we believe is a self-sustaining economy is what could save America. You know, people talk about buying local, how wonderful it is. How about buying national? 96% of all the clothing and shoes that we wear are made overseas. It wasn't like that in the 1990s. So to us, the only thing that could save this country are jobs that create middle class wages so people can have middle class lives, and we've lost that. I mentioned to you earlier that 32% of college graduates have jobs that you don't need any college education for. So there are ways of changing this, and we believe a self-sustaining economy is one of them.
We agree with the Trends Journal. Self-sustainability on the local level, in the regional level, on the national level, absolutely essential. And even at the home base, you know, right there at the dinner table, self-sustainability, whether it be, you know, growing some vegetables in the backyard, part-time jobs, home-based entrepreneurial ideas. This is going to be central to surviving the economic Armageddon. The primary thing that we're hearing from you and many of our other top pundits here on the show, start prepping now. Get ready, because things just aren't going to be stable much longer.
Yes. One of the things that I keep saying is that prepare for the worst. If the worst happens and you're not prepared, you could lose everything. If the worst doesn't happen and you're prepared, you lose nothing. And gold, of course, is still the ultimate safe haven asset. I do not give financial advice. I want to make that very clear. But I really believe in having, only speaking for myself, at least 10% of the assets in gold. It's the ultimate safe haven asset. And in a time of great uncertainty, we see it all the time. When the markets start to rumble, when war drums start to beat, gold prices move higher.
Now that we're virtually 70% off the peak, other assets have gone ballistic. I could be an advocate of 15-20% increasing your allocation. Yes, of course, that's our key focus here. So, you know, I'm biased, but still nothing wrong with that from a methodical investment standpoint.
The same thing individual. You get to a level of obesity, and then you can't handle it anymore, and then you explode or collapse.
That's another one of your trends. It was a great segue into the next topic I wanted to discuss because, you know, you brought to my attention and many of our listeners here the importance of self-defense, some type of personal security, because what you learn very quickly, you're usually attacked from behind. You have very little notice. By the time you go to grab the weapon, you're on the ground and the guy has you in a death hold. In other words, the bad guys, they don't tend to telegraph their intentions on what they're going to do. It's an explosive, dangerous situation. Your methodology is the only one that works. But a component to being self-reliant and having a good self-defense is being healthy. And this is a problem that you talk about. This is one of the trends, as I wanted to get to. I know that was a kind of circuitous route that's plagued my family. I've had to work on it. I've found intermittent fasting to be of incredible use. I've shed 20, 30 pounds over the last 6 months. It's super easy. Tell us more about the importance of staying fit.
The problem of obesity, it's even a bottom line problem. For example, in America, you have 180.5 million Americans, which is over 60% of the nation's population ages 2 and over, are either obese or overweight. And among the 70% of adults who are overweight, 40% of them are obese. Now, you compare that number to when I was a young guy back in the 1960s, it was just 3.4%. So people could talk all they want about fat pride and saying that, you know, there's nothing wrong with being overweight and that it doesn't equal unhealthy. However, that's not true because they just came out actually with a study from the Milken Institute, and it shows, talks about the obesity crisis, and it's accounting for, according to them, $480 billion in direct health care costs in the United States, with an additional $1.24 trillion in indirect costs due to lost economic productivity. So we're looking at the total cost of chronic diseases due to obesity and overweight is at $1.72 trillion, which is equivalent to over 9% of the U.S. GDP. So chronic disease in the U.S. is also accounting for the total, about 47% of the total cost of chronic disease nationwide.
We don't want to disenfranchise any of our folks who have struggled with weight issues. There, although, you know, we're responsible for our own lives, I think there should be some discussion, some narrative on the injection of sucrose and corn syrup and so many of these sugars, chemicals into virtually every aspect of our lives. So a few little points that I've gleaned over the years. Number one, never drink your calories. In other words, if you're fighting the battle of the bulge, do not drink anything that's fattening, okay? Because that's what we tend to turn to first. You down a big thing of chocolate milk or whatever your poison is. We want to make sure everyone picks up a copy of the Trends Journal and signs up. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Sure. The Trends Journal is a monthly. It's only $129 a year. Money back guaranteed. The only place you'll read history before it happens. And we put out trend alerts each week. And we have Trends in the News broadcasts every Monday through Thursday. It's trendsjournal.com, trendsjournal.com. You'll get tomorrow's trends today.
The ultimate evolution in print media. Boom. There we go. That's a soundbite for Trends Journal right there. Gerald Celente, we appreciate it. And if we don't talk again, of course, happy holidays to the Celente household.
Thank you, and happy holidays to you, and happy New Year.